Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I started giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery
better,
bag,
but Q&A, not quite.
Entertainment, nationwide extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here! Ooh! Okay, I got my back. It's been missing for a bit. This is Wretched Radio. Very grateful, first of all, to be getting over the schmutz. Even more grateful that you send us wretched things. What is it that you see that causes you to go, well, that's wretched? Send it to idea@wretched.org. And if and you want to text, whether it's questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, you can do that with your texter machine, 877-282-2337.
And we'll start there with the texter machine. This is from Anonymous. Todd, is it possible for someone to be saved without hearing the name of Christ?
No. No, there is no other name under heaven. No. No. No, no, no. This is a universalism that is unbiblical. How will they believe if they don't hear? How will they hear if nobody goes? How will somebody ever go if they're not sent? This is why we have always been fans of missionary activity, that we send people, they go to bring the good news. Now, I got to tell you, I think the model that is the most efficient and it's also probably the most biblical is to go and find people that you can train to do that missionary work there as indigenous, either pastors or elders or in the context of a local church. Because parachuting in from a different culture, it's just not as, it makes things harder. That is all there is to it. You simply can't get it unless you've been baked in it. I always think about my trip to Ukraine. I was fascinated to be sitting at a table with two translators. She was from the eastern side of Ukraine. He was from the western side. He was all just gangbusters on capitalism. She was like, hate it. Give me communism. It's like, wait, what? Don't you understand? Don't you have social media? Have you never seen the Kardashians to understand how wonderful capitalism is? You can't go in and just change the mindset of a culture. And you can't get that unless you grew up in it, which is why if you want to go be a full-time missionary overseas, praise God. I'm just saying, I think it's better to train and equip people there to do the work. That's what the Master's Academy International is all about. It's brilliant. And I think that it's going to produce even more fruit simply because you don't have the learning curve. We love bringing the gospel. We just need to consider how we do it in the most efficient way possible. But whatever way that is, we got to be doing that because we want the nations to hear great news about Jesus Christ. We want His churches to be filled. That's the desire of the heart. And we've understood that because of Romans 10. We've understood that faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word of God. And so we go, because if we don't, and people don't hear the name of Jesus, they can't be saved. Now, the Roman Catholic Church would come along and say, well, they can, not as well, not as efficiently, maybe more time in purgatory, but ultimately they could end up in Celestial City without knowing the name of Jesus. That is rank apostasy. That they think that, well, they're worshiping God in the best way that they know how. It's not good enough. They've got to hear the name of Jesus. And by the way, speaking of the Roman Catholic Church, this just... Maybe you watched the Luther movie and you thought, whoa, the Roman Catholic Church then. No, it's the Roman Catholic Church now. This is from the New York Post. Faithful flock, Roman Catholic faithful, flock to see God influencer Carlo Acutis's body before his canonization as the first millennial Catholic saint. This is a young 15-year-old computer whiz who apparently did some nice things around town, and he died, and now he's been made a saint, and they've got his body on display where they've got him waxed and laying out for public display so that you can go and venerate him and pray and maybe get a miracle from him. This is paganism from this New York Post article. People come to pray and catch a glimpse of the encased body of the 15-year-old computer whiz. He was a devout British-born Catholic who created a website to document every reported Eucharistic miracle. Oh, so that's what it takes to make you a saint, designing a website. And frequently ministered to the homeless and hungry in his native Milan. He died of leukemia, that's tragic, in 2006. But after his death, his website and his legacy lived on. And in 2020, a miracle attributed to his intercession was approved by the Vatican. Now, how they proved it? Nonsense. This is just unverifiable nonsense. He was credited for healing a 6-year-old Brazilian boy who inexplicably recovered in 2013 from a rare pancreatic condition after touching a relic of the computer whiz. Whoa. How do you draw that line? The answer is you don't. Great news. God healed this kid. This 6-year-old that got healed from a rare pancreatic, God did that. He didn't use it. Do it through a relic. We give God credit for this. Not the relic of a 15-year-old kid from Milan who had a website. He was beatified and given the title Blessed. That's funny. I thought that's what Jesus said we all are if we're in his kingdom. Blessed are those. Furthermore, you are called as a saint. This system of bibbidi-bobbidi-booism, a second miracle attributed to Acutis's intercession, was approved by the Vatican in May 2024. Where he was then given the title Saint. Here's the explanation. The teen spirit was responsible for saving the life of a young Costa Rican woman who suffered severe head trauma after she had fallen off of her bicycle in Florence in 2022. The woman required craniotomy surgery, but doctors, they didn't know if she would recover. So her mother made a pilgrimage to Assisi to touch the tomb of Acutis, prayed for her daughter's recovery, and she began partially regaining her speech a week later. Oh, that's what did it. How do they know? They don't. Furthermore, that is not a miracle. Jesus healed immediately, instantly, totally, organically. It was not a process. But they're just desperate to keep this system in place that is so unbiblical and so discouraging. And unfortunately, I think too often in our conservative circles, we don't like to talk about us being saints, that you and I are a kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood. Now, those are biblical titles. You don't need it from the Vatican. You are called as a saint. Jesus makes you a saint. Jesus makes you blessed. He gets the credit for this. From the article, canonization is a painstaking and usually lengthy 4-step process. So you want to become a saint. According to the Catholic Church, it takes these 4 steps. You must be named a servant of God. You must have a life of heroic virtue. You have to have a verified miracle. And then you have to be referred to as blessed. After another miracle, 4, the candidate is canonized and considered a saint. That's a lot of work, which is exactly the MO of the Roman Catholic system. It's all about works. You are a saint because of Jesus, not because of what you've done, but because of what he has done. Oh, the difference between Protestantism and Catholicism. Who teach that you don't need to know the name of Jesus in order to be saved? Idea@wretched.org or text away at 877-282-2337.
So I got in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot.
Look, knock me over with a feather in here, Jimmy.
I forgot the memory verse for March.
I know.
You know.
Because I got an email.
And that's why I got in trouble.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
So what is it?
So it's going to be Colossians 3.
Yep.
Colossians 3, 3 and 4. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
That's a good verse.
It is.
That might be your best one so far.
It's really good.
It's your life is hidden in Christ. Hmm. And that means you don't need to do stuff to be pleasing to the Father. You're hidden in him. That little prepositional phrase that's repeated dozens of times. In him we have life. In him we have eternity. In him we have forgiveness. In him we are blessed. In him we are saints. You wonder if the Roman Catholic Church doesn't read Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 to 4?
3 to 4.
3 to 4.
Yeah.
Your memory verse of the month. This is Wretched Radio.
You might not see them, but the world keeps handing you chains. Chains of fear, chains of people-pleasing, chains of self-love disguised as confidence. It tells you that your worth is found in self-esteem, that your security is found in human approval, and that your strength is found in emotional indulgence or cold, hard stoicism. It's all a trap. And on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, she's cutting through the lies. This isn't just another self-help pep talk. Never cheesy, never shallow. Just powerful, practical, biblical truth that sets women free. This is Intelligent Talk Radio for women, because real freedom doesn't come from looking inside yourself. It comes from looking up to Christ. If you're ready to ditch the world's empty solutions for something real, it's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. Because in a world full of compromise, there indeed is a better way.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Ever feel like you're watching the culture shift beneath your feet? Yeah, you're not alone, and you're not without allies either. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled a powerhouse team of biblical voices to help you navigate these challenging times. From Tim Challies to Brad Bigney to Adam Tyson and Greg Gifford, our fellows deliver daily content that transforms confusion into clarity. Whether you're tackling marriage challenges, parenting questions, or personal growth, Fortis Institute is ready with biblically grounded wisdom. We're not just offering commentary, we're providing a comprehensive toolkit for living boldly in an increasingly complex world. Through our daily podcasts and video content and live events, we're equipping believers to stand firm without wavering. And if you want to be part of something bigger, join the Fortis community today. Visit FortisInstitute.org and discover why thousands are turning to Fortis Institute as their trusted source for biblical wisdom. Because when the world seems to be turning upside down, we remain steadfast. It's Fortis Institute, where we're standing firm and standing together.
Know your church fathers. Tertullian was a well-trained Greco-Roman philosopher. When he converted to Christianity, he used his great learning to vigorously defend Christianity. Tertullian rejected secular philosophy and is famously quoted as saying, "What hath Athens to do with Jerusalem?"
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Maybe I'll study this. This is Wretched Radio. Just thinking about the Roman Catholic Church, just thinking about the bad health of the current Pope, and no doubt what we will experience and all the networks will carry as the naming of the next Pope. How does that work exactly? Where are the instructions in the New Testament that tell us who exactly is in the line of succession from Peter? A group of cardinals get together and vote? I don't see that verse in the Bible. Furthermore, don't people usually name their own successor, or isn't their successor their offspring? The Roman Catholic papal succession is a man-made system. They have to make it up because it's not in the Bible. They don't have children to have a dynasty of a family name. Going back to Peter, because, well, we don't want to admit he was married, but he was. The whole system is just made up, and it's so heavy. And there is simply no way that Jesus would so thoroughly denounce a work-righteous system known as Pharisaism to simply replace it with the Pharisaical system of the Roman Catholic Church. I think I might study that, because it looks like we're going to be probably seeing the election of a new pope pretty soon. Idea@wretched.org. That would be the email address to send stuff. Or you can text away 877-282-2337. And just as an aside to my aside, I don't think that we are nearly hard enough on the Roman Catholic Church. I think we're too soft. No, we don't want to become jerks. We don't want to repel people because we're off-putting per se. But to now woe a system that is built on works and deception and desiring of profits, that's just not what Jesus modeled for us. Now, he did it while calling out to them, caring for them, encouraging them to repent and believe. But nevertheless, he called them out. And I think that we've just gotten soft on the Roman Catholic Church. And I can't help but think that that isn't a product of our postmodern culture. Don't judge. Be nice. The Roman Catholic system has millions of deceived followers, millions, who are going to hear the fateful words, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." Shouldn't that give us a little righteous indignation? 877-282-2337.
So let's stay in that same arena. This is from Adrian. Todd, my wife's grandmother recently passed away. She was staunchly Roman Catholic. All of the posts celebrating her life all say she's with Jesus. While I believe there are some saved Catholics, how do you best comfort and console if you just don't know if that's indeed true?
Yeah, it's tenuous. I think that without writing a rule book for this, I think maybe just affixing some short phrases to some of your comments. You know, grandmother, if she was fully trusting in Jesus, believing in grace alone, can't wait to see her in heaven. Grandma, boy, you know, it sure looks like she was simply believing in grace alone through faith alone. And I'm so glad then that I've got confidence that I'm going to see her in heaven. I think you can talk like that, because you don't want to affirm what they believe in that grandma was probably a pretty good grandma. Oh, she was just amazing. You always hear these eulogies. Everybody was amazing. Oh, so sacrificial. And I don't doubt that people don't do nice things or good things even, but that's not to turn a blind eye to their totally depraved, sinful nature. We eulogize these people to the point of making it sound like they never sinned. Well, grandma sinned. She needed a savior. She needed forgiveness. And if you simply, I think, frame it theologically correctly without affirming their work-righteous understanding of what it takes to get to heaven, I think that's about the best you can do. And that's about the best you can do. And might I just suggest you could, I don't think it would be a law, but you could use it as an opportunity to witness. Hey, why do you think grandma's in heaven? Why do you think you're going to heaven? Do you think you're going to heaven? Funerals should be about the easiest scenario, the dynamic that should have the broadest open door for us. You're talking about, everybody's thinking about it, death and the afterlife. take advantage of that and just be wise. And don't join the chorus of work righteousness. 877-282-23. You got anything else for that fellow?
No, no. I mean, it's a tough situation.
And you don't want to be a jerk.
No.
But you don't want to, but that doesn't mean that we're going to compromise on truth. So be wise. Give it a breath before you speak to formulate your thoughts. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from William. Todd, what are your thoughts on churches who close Sunday service or midweek or midweek service due to the weather?
Well, it depends. I mean, like, sometimes the weather, it can be treacherous. Now, personally, if I thought, hey, it's safe for me to go and we'll conduct church. If you come, cool. If you think it's too dangerous, we are not going to. I wouldn't stand in judgment over somebody. I mean, I'm not the one who determines what's safe driving and what isn't. So if a church chooses to shut down because they think it's dangerous for their people, okay, as a general principle, that doesn't bother me. But when it's, hey, the forecast says that maybe, and 6 days early, they shut down Sunday church, I'm a little skeptical as to their motivation. So often it's just to get out of a week of preaching or worship or having to take care of the kids, using virtually any excuse possible to shut her down. And here's my favorite. We don't do church because, hey, who wants to compete with the Super Bowl? Which is hysterical when you think about it. That church is not as interesting as a bunch of grown men running around on a football field trying to get a ball over that line. They think that church, yeah, well, who can, you know, everybody's going to be wanting to watch the game. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he could get a three-peat, which actually he can't now. But the point is, church is more interesting. There's something wrong with a church that says that we just got to shut it down for, it wasn't just the Super Bowl last year. There were some other things that I recall churches shutting down where they don't want to do church because of some lame excuse. I can't remember what they were in 20. Well, people are going to have to vote on Thursday, so we better shut her down on Sunday. No, that's a sign of something really, really wrong. North Point. Sorry, I'm getting over this thing. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Linda. Todd, does it seem to you the issue of strong men, godly family leading men, is part of the problem in this controversy over boys and girls sports and locker rooms?
Yes. Yeah.
She said, I can't believe there aren't thousands of dads standing up for their daughters.
Agreed. Yeah, you know what? In fact, I've kind of given myself a pass because my daughters are older than that. And so they're not exposed, no pun intended, to that. So I don't see it as my duty or role to do that. But honestly, maybe it's just a man in this society. And if you choose to do that, even if you don't have daughters in the system, it would be a manly thing to do. I agree. Tip is so often, not always, some of these YouTube videos that you catch, it's men that stand up to the city council or the board of education that's gathering to supposedly listen to the complaints of parents. But more often than not, it's women. That's just not their role. That's the dude's role, sir. That's our job. We were talking about that yesterday. That's the type of thing where we should say, oh no, dear, I'm going. Oh, you can come with. I'm speaking. I'm gonna take the mockery. I'll deal with the nerves of having to speak and be critical in public. But that's my job. And that we don't see more dads rising up to do that. In fact, I think all of us men need to be really vocal about the enough of this, you pervs. Seriously, what is the matter? This issue, wow, it's just dreadful. I saw it was a report. It was like in Oregon or something like that. They forced the girls to change in the locker. Did you see that story,
Jimmy?
Oh,
yeah. I can't remember exactly where it was from. I think it was in the news this week. But some girls did not want to change in the locker room, and so administrators from the school stood in there to make sure they were compliant.
Excellent.
Yeah, that would be the last day my daughter was in that school.
That's exactly right. It's like, adios. And let me tell you something, on the way out the door, I'm going to let you know what I think about this. And the question then is, what do we think about this? I want to call it out as being disgusting that you people, honestly, this is twisted. And there is something wrong with your worldview and your thinking. Because what you are doing is, and this is when it then becomes Christian, you're sinning. You are supposed to be protecting these girls, not violating them and contributing to seeing things that they ought not to be seeing. You need to repent. You need to be saved from the wrath that is to come. I encourage you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have your sins forgiven and knock off this perverted nonsense. Need more men stepping up. This is Wretched Radio.